Freedom that allows us to be able together like this. Lord, we don't want to take it for granted, but we want to take advantage of it while there is yet time. Lord, I pray that you will speak to us today, Lord. You know in the needs of the people, you know how to encourage them, you know how to lift them up. Lord, you know how to strengthen them. Lord, so I ask for you, Lord, to come and do just that. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 9. We spoke about, two Sundays ago, we spoke about the elect in the rapture, and then last Sunday we spoke about the elect in heaven. And this message may seem like it's a little backtracking, but I just felt I wanted to make sure that we had this laid out so simple that everyone would understand it. And before we go on, I felt that last Sunday was kind of setting us up for the next subject to go into, and so I made ready for it, but then I felt that I needed to just give this one more punch. So Romans chapter 9, verse 10. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had received by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is this unrighteousness with God? God forbid. You may be seated. Now there's some that think, how could God justly hate a man before he was even born? I have, in my fellowship that I've had with some denominational people, they can't see predestination. And that's the very thing they think. How could God, before either one was born and had done anything, how could God say he hated one and loved the other? And I've talked to some, and they try to explain the scriptures. Well, that hate don't really mean it the way you think it does. Well, does the rest of the scripture mean what it says? Because it said before either one of them was born. I don't care how you define the word hate. You know, it just said before either one of them was born, he hated one and loved the other one. It said before either one could do good or evil, that he loved one and hated the other. And it said that it was according to election. And so in the five junctions of time, Brother Bram said, do you ever read that Romans 9, how he said before either boy was born, Esau and Jacob said, I hate one and love the other? How can he be just and do that? By foreknowledge, he knew what a rascal Esau was. See, and he could predestinate, not just say the word predestination is not a good word to use, it's foreknowledge, because he wouldn't have just deliberately turned you away because he wants you to go away. He's not willing that any of you should perish. But by foreknowledge, he knows what you'll do even before you ever come on the earth. So it's not just predestination alone. there's foreknowledge, election, ordained, choosing. All these things must fit together to show you the purpose and plan of God and how God can do this almost fit rightly together. Predestination is only one aspect of the sovereignty of God. Foreknowledge, election, ordained, choosing, they're all displays of the sovereignty of God. But you must bring it in that it's on free moral agency. And there's some that they have a hard time finding how can it be on free moral agency where you have a choice and yet God be able to predestinate. And it's a very simple answer. God knows what your choice will be. If he didn't know, then he ain't God. If he doesn't know everything, then he's not God. God knows everything. God knew before you were born what color. God knew before your great grandfather was born what color your hair and eyes would be. He knew who your great grandmother would be before your great grandfather was even born. God knows everything. And he knows what choice you're going to make. Not like us, maybe with our children. Sometimes we say, well, or our spouses, we'll say, well, I know what they, in this situation, what they do. Well, you're just guessing. You're really just guessing. You're making an educated guess. That's what you're doing. But God actually knows. He foresees it. It's like a movie. You say being played out before God's eyes, he knew exactly how it would be. God knew where everybody'd be sitting this morning. He knew who'd be here, who wouldn't be here. God didn't, before the foundation of the world, just pick one and not another. It's by foreknowledge he's able to predestinate. There are some people that if they live to be 10,000 years old, they would never accept Jesus Christ. But now, Pharaoh, because think about Pharaoh. No matter how many signs and wonders he saw, he was not going to accept the God of Moses. He just wasn't going to do it. And God needed that. It's like the law of contrast, day and night, good or bad, positive and negative. God uses the law of contrast and makes foreknowledge and predestination work to fit his divine purpose. There are elect seed that came out of God's divine being. And then there are others that didn't come exactly that way, but God still gives them the opportunity to come. Abel, by revelation, worshiped God the correct way. Now, it was by divine revelation, but it was because Abel was the son of Adam, which made him the son of God. And so there was a direct connection between God and Abel because Abel came from God. And that's the same way with the believer today. There is a direct connection between the believer today and God, a direct connection that those that are outside of that don't have that connection. And that's why that no matter how much you try to show it to them, they can't see it. And as I've said in the earlier messages, we don't look down on them for that. If they ain't ordained to see it, they can't help it. Let them, whatever, as far as they're ordained to see, that's as far as they can see. So we don't look down on them or think we're better than them. It's still by the grace of God. And we'll see that, I think, as we go along here in this message, that even though God knows what you choose, it's it's still the grace of God. It's still grace through faith. Cain, though, was not a seed of Adam. He wasn't a seed of God. But God still gave him the opportunity to repent and do the right thing. And if Cain would have done the right thing according to what God had asked, then God would have had to accept him. But God didn't give him the choice and think, well, I'm going to give him a choice because it ain't going to matter anyway. No, God did it because he's just. Because he's just, he must give everybody a chance. And because we're on free moral agency where we get to choose. It's just he knows what we'll choose. In the Ministry Explained, 1950, Brother Bram says, you're not destroyed or separated from God because you're a sinner. You're separated from God because you refuse to walk with him, to walk in his provided way. You got death and life before you, just like Adam and Eve. Every man's a free moral agent. And the tree of life and the tree of death is before us all. You can take either one you wish to. It depends on what tree you eat off of is what you are. That's right. God created you on free moral agent to do whatever you wanted to do. He can't make you love him. He don't force you to love him. He can't make you love him. He can't make nobody love him. As over the years of pastoring, dealing with different people and trying to help people, and that's what you want to do. You don't want to cast nobody aside. You want to help everybody. And we've had a lot come and pass through these doors. And I've tried to help every one of them. And there's times where you lay it out and you think, well, if I could just do it for them, I would, but you can't. All I can do is lay it out before them, and then it still comes down to they've got to make a decision. And sometimes there are people who just don't like to make decisions. And they think, well, I just won't make one. You've made one by not making one. You either decide for him, or your decision is you didn't decide for him. Brother Branham says, and I believe it's in the message of secret going away of the church, I believe. And he says that God don't force you to do anything. He says, but Satan does. He said Satan will push you to a decision. Isn't that something? God don't force you, but there's still a force that's acting. Satan won't leave you alone. Satan. Some people think, well, I'll just ride here, right here on the fence. No, you won't. You can't do it because that's against the word of God. You can't be a sinner saint. You know, you can't serve mammon and serve God. That's what the Bible says. Now, there are some quotes that you read where Brother Branham would say things and it'll make it seem like you ain't got a bit more choice than nothing. It'll make it seem like that how God has predestinated, elect, and called you and everything, it'll make it seem like, as Brother Ram said, you're trapped into this. But there's other quotes that will go the other way. And you see you got choice and responsibility. But there's a truth in the middle of the road on it. There are some people that, to them, it's all sovereignty, 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 until everything they do is ordained. If they come to church with one gray sock and one orange sock, it must have been ordained of God. Then there's other people that it's all works, 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 works. Legalism. If I do this and do this and do this and do this, I'd be good to my neighbor and I'd be good. Friends, look, you can be good. People can be good to their neighbor. They can be good to their family. They can be good to everybody around and still be lost if they don't accept Jesus Christ. You've got to have Christ in your life. And if you've got Christ in your life, then your being, as I was saying Thursday, will line up with the Word. It'll line up with it. A person can't have the Holy Spirit residing in them and not say amen to the Word. So people who sit at home and don't go to church and believe they don't have to, it's because they don't have the Holy Ghost. And I can show you two examples why I say that. One, the Bible says, forsake not to assemble yourselves together. Right. Well, they say, well, we're assembled at home. Okay, here's my second one. Brother Branham says, in Christ the Mystery God Revealed, he said, if you've got the Holy Ghost, you can't wait for them church doors to open. When we get into trouble, it's because of free moral agency. Don't blame it on God. People say, but all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Yes, God can turn things around. Just like he did for Brother Branham, when Brother Branham listened to his mother-in-law and didn't go down there to preach to those people. And God turned it around. And out of it came a blessed message of life story that has blessed and touched people for years. But Brother Branham paid for that. He said, I know, this is in life story, he said, I know that many thousands of souls I have to answer for at that day for listening to somebody else instead of God. That's true. Why some people can't keep the victory, Brother Branham says. Now, a man's on the basis of free moral agency. God could not take a man and say, now, I'm going to make you do this. I'm going to make you be a lost man, and I'm going to make you be a saved man. That wouldn't be the nature of God. He's not willing any should perish, but he wants all to repent. 2 Peter 3:9 does say the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we've got to take choice, election, foreknowledge, predestination, and put it together and still maintain it in the true nature of God. Some believe God from the beginning, there are some people believe, well, what are you saying? God handpicked, said, well, I'll take the third one from the back, fourth one from the aisle, and that one I'll save. Fifth one from the front, second one over, you're going to be lost. No matter how much you want to go to heaven, I ain't going to let you. That's against the nature of God. He's not willing, this is in some people can't, why some people can't keep the victory again. He said, he's not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that it would be that way. He wants all to come back to him, but he knows who will and who won't. So therefore, he could, by foreknowledge, he can make everything work right according to his plan. Amen. Oh, aren't you happy for a father like that, he says. What went we out to see? 1959, he said, you send yourself to torment. You send your own soul to its eternal destination upon the free moral agency of your own convictions. God doesn't send anyone to hell. He never did, and he never will. Men send themselves to hell. Look, even though the Bible says he prepared hell for the devil and his angels, God didn't send them there. They went there by choice. Lucifer chose to do what he did, and those angels that followed him, they chose to follow him. Let's see. He's long-suffering. He doesn't want any to perish, never wanted it. Now, there's a difference between wanting it and knowing. God knows. Before the foundation, there's approximately about 16 billion people, I guess maybe it is, in the world today. Or 6 billion, did I say? It's somewhere around that number. Huh? 7. Well, God knew every one of them. And knew every one of them what choice they'd make and what they'd do. I'll tell you how much God knows. You think, well, it don't matter what I eat for breakfast. God knew what you was going to eat. You thanked him for it before you partook of it, didn't you? Thank you for giving me this, Lord. Well, if it came from him, then he knew what it was going to be. Some people think, well, God ain't interested in that. Oh, yes, he is too. God's interested in everything about you. I'll show you that. David said in Psalms, he said, I was once young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the seed begging, bread. Amen. God provides. God couldn't make man fall like as Adam did. But God had attributes in him to be a healer, a savior, a redeemer. But he couldn't make man fall and save him and be right. So God put him on the same basis he put the angels on. Free moral agency. The angels got to choose. God said, I'm putting my children on the same agency they get to choose. Everybody gets a choice. He said, I'll let Adam choose. Now, before he chooses, I already know what he's going to choose. God would say that before he chooses, I already know what he's going to choose because I slayed the lamb before the foundation of the world for his sins. God, like I said, God saw the whole thing like it was if it was a movie being played, if you can understand it in that way. And before the actors ever took the stage, God already had the playwright finished. Revelations chapter 3, the throne of mercy, Brother Branham says this. It put man and woman back again like Adam and Eve at the Garden of Eden. On what? The two trees. Self-will. This one's death and the other one's life. Self-will. Free moral agency. God placed the first man, Adam, and Eve right here on free moral agency. He places you the same place. And the only way that you can get this thing fixed is in your own self-will. Your self-will. Hallelujah. You have to will to do God's will. You have to get rid of your own will and let God's will come in. For this is the only channel that leads to the heart. So we have to be willing to do God's will. If we're not willing, then God's got laws. By the law of contrast, God will bring you to a willingness. You look at some people and they'll accept the Lord when they're just a young person and stay that way and get filled with the Holy Ghost and stay that way the rest of their lives. There's others that have lived to be 40 years old, and God's got to knock them over the head to finally get them to make the choice he knew they were going to make. He's got to, and by that, you know, I know earlier I said God don't force you to do anything. No, but God will allow circumstances to come. He'll let the devil have his way. The Bible tells us that in order to run you to him. I'll tell you what, I know that some people don't believe it, but there's a correction by the word where you can lift the blood off somebody and an evil spirit will drive that individual to God and to repentance. That's the Bible and it's still true and it works. He cannot save you against your own will. He can't heal you against your own will. Now he's here to heal tonight. Why would he heal some and leave others? Go. See, it's not God's will for any of you to go unhealed. It's not God's will for any of you to go unsaved. Because he died. God wants to heal you. God wants to heal everybody. But if they'd rather have sympathy, then God won't heal them. You know what I'm talking about. For some people, they like having something. They'll diagnose themselves with something so that just so they can have it. And you'll ask them, how you been doing? And they'll tell you. And you'll think, why did I ever ask them that? What are they, and you know what it is, they every time you talk to them, they got something wrong with them, they're looking for sympathy. But if you don't want sympathy and you want to be healed, then God will heal you. Some people, God would bless them financially, but there's some people believe you got to be paupers to be Christians. In this message. And what does that do? It just stops God from being able to bless them. God's wanting to bless us in everything, in every way, God's wanting to bless us. But sometimes what it is, we just won't let him bless us. So he'll allow hardships to come our way. He'll allow things to come our way that'll stress us out. Just so he can turn around and bless us. Get you and me ready and get us in a spot where we'll actually receive the blessing of God. Sometimes we try to do everything ourselves. We rely on ourselves. When we get to relying on ourselves too much, God allows something to come along that you'll realize it's out of your hands and out of your control. And you can't rely on yourself. You're going to have to rely on a higher power. Be not afraid, 1961, he said, he cannot save you against your own will. You're a free moral agent. You can turn it down or you can accept it. He can't heal you against your will. He can't save you against your will. But he can make you know in his promises, then you'll accept it upon those bases. Calling of Abraham, he says, God by sovereign election called Abraham. Not because he'd done anything. God by election called Abraham and said, not if you do a certain thing, but I've already done it. God had determined to save man even against his own will, against his nature. Man in his nature is absolutely contrary to God's will. He's a sinner, born a sinner. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity, coming to the world speaking lies, lost from his birth. Nothing he can do about it. Now it seems like we got a quote, seems like it just went the other way from what we've been saying. But what this quote, if you'll catch what it's dealing with, is the human nature that we all have. And that nature, the elect seed have to die out to that nature in order for God to come in. that nature, that sinful nature has to die. Amen. And that's what this is talking about. He'll save you against the nature or the will of human nature. Not against, when he's talking about self-choice and all that, he's talking about the soul. There's only one way into the soul. And that's either accept or reject. There's five gates in the spirit, five gates in the flesh, but only one into the soul. Amen? Sovereign election. Ephesians 1 and 4 and 5 says, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us according to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his own will. Spoken words of original seed, Brother Branham says this, predestinated. All sons and daughters of God are predestinated. All right? We are predestinated. Why? Christ is the original seed, and this original seed was predestinated by the foreknowledge of God, knowing that the fall would come, and predestinated him to take our place. You get it? All sons and daughters of God are predestinated. But you say, would he condemn? No, sir. You're here on free moral agent. But the reason that he knowed, him being God, the infinite one, as I spoke to you about, he foreknew everything that would be. He knew who they was. Now, he didn't make Eve to do that. He didn't make her to do it, but he knowed she would do it. Mess of God, does God ever change his mind? He says, even in natural birth, there is election. Whether it be a boy or a girl, whatever it's going to be. And some people don't, I don't know if they believe this. But even there's election, even in the whole aspect of creating life. Who it's going to be. God knew what baby you was going to have, whether it's a boy or a girl, whatever. You say, but what about people like Hannah in the Bible who asked God for a son? God knew she's going to ask him for a son, and God had predestinated her to have a son. God had already preordained her to have a son. Then he moved on Hannah as a mother. He moved on Hannah to where Hannah's desire went toward having a son. So that Hannah would come and ask him for a son. So that Hannah would make the promise to God, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. See, that's the way God works things. People say you can't ask God. Sure you can. According to his will. Whew. Even in the natural birth is election. Whether it's going to be a boy or a girl, whatever it's going to be, and when that little germ wiggles into that little egg and the tail drops and starts the baby's spine, whatever it is, animal or baby or whatever, and the rest of those million germs, only one lives, all the same, but God chooses by election what's going to live, and the rest of them perish, one out of a million. Laodicean church age, in the church age book, he said, now by his spirit he created many sons unto himself. God the creator created himself a part of his creation. That is the true revelation of God. This was his purpose. This purpose took form through election. That's why he could look right down to the last age when all would be over and see himself in the midst of the church as an author of the new creation of God. His sovereign power brought it to pass, but his own decree, he elected the members of this new creation. He predestinated them to the adoption of children according to the good pleasure of his will. All things he knew and all things he worked and according to what he knew in order that his purpose and good pleasure be brought to pass. And he quotes Ephesians 2:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that you belong to him? Jehovah Jireh part two, he said, now there's a doctrine of predestination which is rotten nonsense. And you know what he's talking about there? People believe God then chooses this one and doesn't that one. He said that one's rotten and nonsense. But there's really a true predestination. God by foreknowledge could predestinate because he has foreknowledge. God not willing any should perish, but being infinite God knew what, who would perish and who would not. That's the reason he said before Jacob or Esau was born, he hated Esau and loved Jacob. His foreknowledge let him know that Esau was a shyster and let him know that Jacob respected that birthright regardless of how he got it. He wanted it. Now, both boys, twins, born from the same holy mother and father, but one was a renegade and the other was a believer. Now, God by foreknowledge knew that. Now, God by foreknowledge, he doesn't set his business like you wouldn't do your business that way on a loose leaf like that. God knew by foreknowledge who'd be saved, so he sent Jesus to catch those who he foresaw would be saved. He knew who would be saved, so by foreknowledge he sent Jesus to catch those that would be saved. By foreknowledge, God could move on the prophets to tell them things that would be thousands of years before it happened. By foreknowledge. By foreknowledge, God could move, and a prophet like Isaiah or other prophets like him be caught up in the mind of God into the channel of foreknowledge and say, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. Behold, your God come. The eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And the lame man leap as a hart. And the tongues of the dumb sing. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of there shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. These are all things prophets prophesied, that would happen. They prophesied that these things would happen. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Thou city who claims, now these were all ones that I've told you as prophets from the Bible. Now listen to this one. Tell me where this come from. Thou city who claims to be the city of angels, who's exalted yourself into heaven. One day you'll be laying at the bottom of this sea. You great honeycombed under you right now. The wrath of God is belching right beneath you. Who said that? Prophet of this day. There's going to be a rapture. That's in the future to be. He also said that. You know, Brother Todd sent me something. I was reading it, and it took me a while before I got around to reading it, but I was reading it, and it was talking about the San Andreas Fault out there in California. And they've they've got to look, and they would thought that would be just like little earthquakes maybe here or there, and that it could cause some sliding, but they've realized now that a great chunk of California could slide right off into the sea. But the prophet said it years and years and years before science ever got around to saying, you know what? It could happen. I often wonder, when I was in the fourth grade, I don't remember how it came to be, but somehow or other, I was up in the front of the class. You know how they have you get up and you have to recite or say things or whatever, and somehow something was said, and I turned to my teacher and I told her, I said, there's a prophet to come, and he said that Los Angeles is going to sink beneath the sea. And I said, one day when it goes to happen, you're going to remember I stood in your classroom and said that. And I've looked back at that after I read this article, and I thought, I wonder if that's ever come back to that teacher's mind. If God wanted to, he could have mentioned everyone that was going to be elect by name. And it could have been written, and you could have opened it up, and there would have been your name. It would have been a whole book of names. And there is one. But it is a supernatural book, and we don't get to look in it. But God could have put it in a book that we could look in. But if he done that, then we would be serving him by knowledge and not faith. And the Bible says you are saved by grace through faith. Amen. I'm not saved because I know. I'm saved because I believe. Some people struggle and say, well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm one of them. I don't know if I'm ordained or not. I don't know if I'm a seed or not. After you preaching all this, I don't know whether am I elect or not. I don't know either. But I believe. I believe it by faith. Say, why do you? Well, look where we are. Look where we could be. Look where we have been. And see where we are now. I believe it's like that sister told Brother Branham, said, I may not be what I want to be. I may not be what I should be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. God loves you. Amen. Let's stand, Brother Nate, if you come. Oh, isn't God wonderful? God knew, therefore he could send. He knew the woman at the well. Before he got down there, he said, I have needs to go by Samaria. Why did he have a need to? Because he knew there was an elect seed down there he had to go visit. Amen. God bless you.
Listen, he's got it all in control.
He's got it all in control. My life. got it all.
I didn't mean to interrupt the service, but Brother Jerry had been preaching for a long time. He's up here preaching one Thursday night. He said if you ain't gonna learn it in here, he said you can learn it out there. I'm sitting there. Here's the way I am. I'm sitting there thinking, but boy, I tell you, there's somebody in here that needs to learn something. And the whole time he's talking to me. So this situation comes up in my life that I can't deal with. It's all right, Brother Jerry. I start acting like an idiot about it, just an idiot going back to what God delivered me from. I'm sitting right back in what God delivered me from. I went right back into that thing. And Jessica told me, and Mina, and all them, they had been praying. Something arose up in me. And Brother Jerry told Jessica in the back, he said, his problem is fear. I'm being controlled and governed by fear. So, when I take a look at that, I'm looking like, well, God just needs to take this from me. God says, no, you're going to quit loving that thing because I'm sick of that thing. Why am I going to fear? Who have I got to fear what God did to me? What am I walking around thinking? These people out in society can wipe me out. God, show me I was one of his. If they take me in there and stomp me and squash me and I'm dead, but it's over, I'm still one of God's. Listen, the devil come for me and I just played along with it. My wife's looking at me like, I'm sorry to tell y'all this. My wife's looking at me like, you're an idiot. What is the matter with you? Because I want to go back to some kind of learned behavior. No way. God says, you ain't doing that. And the devil comes to me and says, you're going to ruin the church this time. Look what you're going to do. You're going to make a mess. That's what he does. He gets you all tore up, and then he looks at you and says, look at you. You did all this stuff for God, and look what he did to you. That's what he's telling me. If he slays me, I'm not going back to him. Because the devil come to me, he said, remember, you were mine. You served me. I own you. No, you don't. I tell you in front of the whole church, he don't own me. I ain't going back to him. He'll try to say, well, I'll kill when you leave here. Kill me. I'll see you again one day, old boy, and I'll kick you off in your pit, my brother. Bless you, church. That man right there was the reason I'm still standing today. He said he took and turned the blood out from under me. People says, that's some kind of witchcraft. That's what it done to me. He pulled the blood, and God said, okay, you put an evil spirit on me. Where did he lead you back to? Right back to repentance. Merry Christmas, church. Bless you. We're going through a lot, but we're like that old movie. He says, he runs in, he said, I wish I could remember the movie I was thinking. He said, I'm going to jail. Praise God, I'm going to jail. It can be a natural jail, but a spiritual jail, he delivered me from. Bless you, church. God bless you, church. You don't know what I see. You're beautiful. He's beautiful. He says, how do you say that? He's beautiful. I love him with all my heart. When I was headed to hell, he stood in front of God like Moses did. Don't kill him. Don't kill him. God can kill him for me. And he showed me grace. I go through, he knows.
shepherds when I'm in my soul. He's got it all in
control. Sing, isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful?
Dismiss this time lapse.